It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Good to have you with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. A couple of weeks ago on Morning Edition, we heard why Georgia's biggest organization representing doctors has some major concerns about a new policy from the state's biggest insurer. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia will now deny coverage for any emergency room trip it says was unnecessary. The company says it has to do this to address the high costs that patients run up when they visit the ER for something that ought to be handled in a doctor's office or clinic. Jeff Fusel is the president of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia. He joins us now. Welcome, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. Great to be here, Des.
One thing you and the Medical Association of Georgia do agree on, emergency ER visits are a big and expensive problem. But isn't there a risk here that this new policy would end up making patients diagnose themselves when they're really not qualified to do that, and they could actually put themselves in danger by doing that?
I certainly hope not. The theory behind this process is simply to say to people to raise awareness that the ER is a very expensive place and there are an emerging number of opportunities to seek non-emergent care elsewhere.
You said you hope that that self-diagnosis problem would not happen. Do you have any evidence, though, that it wouldn't?
I don't see that as being any different today. People decide when they go to the ER today. They decide whether they're going to go to their physician's office, the urgent care, or the ER today. And I don't see that being any different in the future.
But usually they'll decide to go to the highest level of care they think might be appropriate if they are given a disincentive, if you will, to go to the ER when they probably should. Isn't that a problem?
I don't think if somebody is having a true emergency that will be the determining criteria of where they go.
One of the problems that Donald Palmisano, executive director of the Medical Association of Georgia, brought up when we spoke with him was that he said his organization has offered to work with you on educating patients about when they should and shouldn't go to the ER, but they need to know a little more about where those patients are, where they're concentrated, who those patients are, maybe the diagnostic codes that show up when patients are perhaps using the ER inefficiently. But he says Blue Cross Blue Shield has declined to share the data with them. Is that true, first of all? And if it is, why wouldn't you share that with the Medical Association?
Well, first of all, we're willing to share information to help make the right decision. So let me just state that right up front. The issue that when Donald had asked for the data that we have, he's asking for data that his organizations have submitted to us. They actually have more of the clinical information. They actually have the medical charts and all of the detail, including the diagnosis codes, which they send to us. And then when we respond, we send them back the remittance advices that explain what we're paying for and the decisions that were made on our end. But their data is actually more robust clinically than our data.
You're saying not only do they have the data about what the diagnostic codes are, but they would then have the data on your decisions and which decisions go with which patients and which diagnostic codes?
That's right. So they would send to us, this is what we did, this is how we diagnosed the patient, this is what we treated for, and then we would send a note back that says this is their benefit structure and here's what we're reimbursing you for. What we wouldn't have that they would have in their files is all the other detailed clinical information from the doctor, the nurses, and anybody else attending to that patient.
But this brings up the question then, aren't doctors the ones really in the best positions to decide whether emergency care is necessary?
I think the way the system works, people decide when they need to go to the emergency room. They go to the emergency room and then doctors decide which course of treatment is best. And all we're simply trying to do is educate people that almost half of the time, based on the data that's available both within Georgia and nationally, people are presenting at the ER for situations that are not truly emergent. Now, that doesn't mean we'll deny those claims, right? There's lots of exceptions to the rules that we will recognize. Children 14 and under will not have that situation. If you're more than 15 miles from another source of care, that wouldn't happen. If it occurs on a Sunday, when maybe there's no other sources of care, we wouldn't deny. If a prudent person would believe they're having an emergency situation, we won't deny.
But isn't that part of the problem? And it comes back to what we talked about a little earlier, that the average person isn't, if they're suddenly having an episode that they think might be serious, they may not necessarily know what the prudent person standard is.
That's a fair point, but that's been the standard all along. We're not actually changing that standard. And if the prudent person thinks they're having an emergency, then we'll cover that.
But are there other ways to perhaps educate people on when not to go to the ER other than saying, okay, we're going to deny coverage for a visit we deem is unnecessary?
Yeah, I think there's lots of ways to address these issues. Education is certainly an important one. Certainly when somebody has a financial incentive to understand, they tend to be more interested in getting educated. I also believe in many other states I've seen where there's freestanding emergency rooms, they create a process by which when the person presents at the facility, they are triaged as being either urgent care or emergent care. And in those scenarios, if they're urgent, they get paid a fair rate for urgent care. If they're emergent, they get paid a fair rate for emergency care. And we would certainly be open to those kinds of opportunities as well. We're simply trying to manage the people who are inappropriately using the emergency room, not the people who really believe they're having an emergency.
But someone might then ask, if we have, triage or education as approaches that really need to be tried a little harder, why not try those first before using a standard that might conceivably have somebody not go to the ER when they should?
Oh, I think we've been trying these measures for a very long time. The question is how much training would be enough, and I think this is an important additional piece to raise that level of awareness.
It's a bit in the weeds here, but you brought up an exception, for instance, if someone has to travel long distances to get to the appropriate care. But isn't there another problem in many of the areas in Georgia where the network of doctors that people might find on their plan list just includes, in many cases, the kinds of physicians who only treat people in hospitals? Their hospital lists is the name for it. And so that they can't find an appropriate doctor in an office or clinic.
Yeah, Dennis, I guess that situation could arise. I don't know that we're as affected by it with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia as we have by far the largest network of any insurer across the state.
So you don't think that would be a problem for the people who are policyholders of yours?
I don't think that would be as big a problem for our policyholders as it would be for others. And certainly, like I said, if there's not another alternative, then we would certainly not deny the emergency room usage.
Do you have plans to extend this policy to people who aren't on the individual health care exchanges, which are the folks who would be affected by it now? In other words, the state health benefit plan or employer-sponsored plans, which are the ones that a lot of people have.
We don't have current plans, but we're always looking at opportunities to make sure that we're balancing providing high-quality health care with affordable health care as well.
We've heard examples cited of people who thought they were having indigestion when in fact they were having a heart attack, or someone who goes to an ER for something and they think it is pretty minor and suddenly it's major and they were just lucky enough to be in the ER. Are you saying that this policy won't result in cases like that happening with perhaps tragic results?
I do not believe that this will create that situation. I think those scenarios that are created sometimes are there to lobby and scare people. I think those situations occur today when somebody goes to the doctor's office where they should have gone to the ER. Somebody goes to the ER where they should have gone to the doctor's office. Those situations occur today, and I don't believe that this will create any more of that kind of situation.
But if you're trying to influence behavior and you're successful in doing that, couldn't it be argued that in some cases the change in behavior would be somebody who doesn't seek care when they should?
Yeah, Dennis, I think you could create a lot of different scenarios. I could also tell you that a lot of people who present themselves in the ER end up catching things in the ER that they wouldn't have caught. I had a lady the other day who expressed to me that she went to the ER for a minor situation and ended up catching pneumonia in the ER. And so, you know, again, I don't think the ER is the place you want to go if you don't need to be in the ER. It's absolutely the place you want to go if you need to be in the ER. If you're not sure whether you need to be in the ER, then go to the ER. And through that prudent layperson standard, it will be reimbursed.
How long will you keep this policy in effect in order to get the data you need to see if it's actually working or if it hasn't produced the unintended consequences?
Yeah, I don't think we'll put a time frame on that, but I think we'll certainly assess the data. Again, always looking at balancing, you know, high quality care with affordable care as well, and trying to find the balance between those two is not easy, but certainly the thing we try to do every day.
On a related subject, at least when it comes to costs, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia just requested some premium increases for 2018, and the average was around 40% on the exchanges here. Again, this is for individual plans on the Obamacare exchanges. Now, other big insurers like Ambetter and Alliant and Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of Georgia are also requesting increases in the double digits, but their averages were not even close to that 40% that you're seeking. Why is your request so much bigger than theirs?
Well, I don't know that ours is that much different from some. I've seen others that are at a close level. You know, I will tell you right now, it's a very difficult thing to price. In many of the markets, we are the only remaining insurer in the county. And so you get everybody who's coming into the exchange. And it becomes very difficult to price, especially with concerns that there may not be a mandate or a requirement to buy health care, and that you could end up with a situation where only the sickest of the sick are joining through the exchange, and they create a very expensive environment. Now, we hope as the dust settles, so to speak, and Congress does what they do, that we'll get more clarity and be able to sharpen our pencil. But we thought it was a prudent place for us to be so that we could remain viable in the marketplace and provide coverage in the counties that today would not be covered by anybody but for our participation.
Now, it's true you're the only insurer that is operating in all 159 counties, but those other insurers certainly run into some of the same uncertainty that you do. So why again would you say, okay, we are facing more uncertainty than they are?
I don't know that we're facing more uncertainty than they are. We're playing in a broader population, and we've watched many of the major competitors in the market fail for not charging the proper rates and leave the market, which doesn't help anybody. The other thing I would point out is with the minimum loss ratios and the rebates for the consumers, if 40% proves to be too high and we're not paying the appropriate 80% back to claims and coverage, that excess money would be rebated to those consumers as a premium give back.
But couldn't we see people simply priced out of being able to afford insurance? They may decide to pay the penalty under Obamacare because it's cheaper, and then they end up in the ER for a lot of primary care things, which is the problem we just talked about.
You hope not, right? We hope that the change in the exchange and the go-forward plan for the exchange will help with the affordability and quality, but it's important that we are able to remain viable so that there's at least an option for people in the community.
Well, the uncertainty you talked about, let's get to that for a moment, because Republicans are arguing that the uncertainty in the market is because of the structural problems with Obamacare. And they say the only way to address that uncertainty is to repeal and replace it. Democrats argue that the GOP itself caused the uncertainty by refusing to work with the Obama administration when it was in office and because of their own failure to come up with an alternative. Which do you think it is?
Dennis, I'm not going to answer that question. It's not my place to set the policy, simply to understand and learn the policies that the legislature in this country puts in place, and then do the best job we can to provide high-quality health care at an affordable price under whatever rules are put forward.
Anything else you think is important that I haven't gotten to?
No, Dennis, I appreciate your interest in this topic. I appreciate, you know, the discussion. I just would like to say that, you know, I think we live in a difficult time where you're trying to create the greatest quality health plans you can create. At the same time, you're trying to create the most affordable health plans you can create. And that's a difficult balancing act in these day and age. And, you know, you get people on one side who think you're not covering enough. You get people on the other side who think you're not making the premium affordable enough. And so it's always a difficult balancing act to find that right spot for the broadest array of people in the state. We work hard to do that every day.
Jeff Fusel is the president of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia. Mr. Fusel, thanks so much for giving us this time. We really appreciate it, and we'll check back with you.
Dennis, thank you very much.